going to call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council on Monday, December 21st, 2015. Please stand and rise with us and have a moment of silence for the brave men and women who have sacrificed to protect our freedoms in this country. Thank you. Councilmember Nichols, will you lead us in a flag salute tonight?
Yes.
Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Donna, when you're ready, roll call, please.
Here.
Here. Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you, Donna. We don't have any closed session announcements at this time, correct, City Attorney?
Yes, that's correct.
Very good. We'll review the order of the agenda as presented by staff. Any council members want to change the order of the agenda? If not, I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there is no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. We have no ceremonial calendar tonight, and we are now going to move into our public communication. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council on any item within the jurisdiction of our council. Please bear in mind that we will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any item that is not on the agenda. And I believe I have one speaker request form. Mr. Weissel.
I said this before, constructive criticism never hurt anyone. It's a damn truth that hurts. And the truth is that I have been harassed, and it has been unbearable. And I don't need to live in a town or a city or that harasses me on a Thanksgiving day. I got a letter today at 4:30 from Greg Ray, sent and delivered by city manager. I'm not sure whether this is a truth letter or whether this is a letter of I'm getting tired of hearing from you over the phone, but I can last till the day I die. And I have explained this, and you're an engineer for the county, and I don't understand why you haven't told these people what the problem is. It's because a cap on a pipe and dirt got in. Now, according to this letter, you have a insurance. And so I told Greg Ray tonight, he wanted to come in, but my wife, I don't want to disturb her. And this could have been prevented 3-4 months ago, but it wasn't on. When we voted for the streets, nothing was said about the water. But my house and my neighbor, which is mine, we've had low pressure. And the pressure this morning, take a shower, come out about like that. So tell your church people you want them to come up and flush my lines. They're only 5 years old, that one. Because as I told Gregory, the day I went to Santa Barbara on November the 24th, they came up and they took a white piece of the water meter that goes to my house, and they put a gray one. He explained that tonight, but I have less pressure. Now, that's fine. You just keep it up. You know, I told my wife, I said, at least when I was in Korea, we had water on Thanksgiving Day. We didn't. And we live in Grover Beach, right next to the ocean. This town has 1.7 million people coming through. We ought to be, really, in the gravy seat. But what you're going to have to do is, for me to get pressure, is to have somebody to flesh it out. Like I said, you're an engineer, and you work for the county. That burns me up, though, Chris, that you can't come up with something because you sit there as a puppet talking to the boss. That bothers me as a taxpayer, because I've never had to put up with that until this year. And it's funny how you just live a stone's throw from me, but you had your stepson deliver this. You know, small things are really bad sometimes. Just bitches. So, one night I was watching the TV at 11 o'clock, and you were talking about Oak Park, Grand Avenue. And you said you're going to have Wallace to do that. I want to tell you something. Several years ago, when 101 went in and they put the bridge for Oak Park, Wallace designed that, put that in. It's off 10 feet. For years, we only had two lanes going up until they did some engineering. That guy wouldn't put a driveway in for me. And I know a lot of people feel the same way as I do. There's other better qualified people than him. But, you know, I don't like to set up at 11 o'clock and hear things that should be on the agenda from 8 to 10. I think that's mismanagement. I think that's something wrong with the... And I don't think it's right for me, 80 years old, to come down here and have to go through this being harassed and water problems. Never had it before.
Great. Thank you, John. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close public communication. And Bob, can you maybe just provide some clarification?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, after Mr. Wysong was here last time, the council's direction, I continued to follow up. I had conversations with Mr. Hollenbeck, who assured me that representatives from Cal Portland had been out there and tested the pressure at the house and determined that it was appropriate. I know that Mr. Wysong has continued to indicate that he's had issues associated, he believes, with the construction. At this point, the best way to deal with it is as we would procedurally with most every other issue that comes up like this, and it's simply to advise Mr. Wysong to submit a summary of what he believes his impacts are and the associated costs, and we will deal with that through the claims procedure as we should be doing normally.
Okay.
Which means it'll go to our insurance for our insurance representative for review.
Okay. I think he had made a reference to flushing the lines. I'm not quite sure who that conversation.
You know, that would depend ultimately on a review by the insurance agent in determining whether the kind of construction actually caused whatever kind of ongoing issues Mr. Wysong continues to have.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Any other council members have any questions? Okay. Okay. Council member Wright.
So since we have this final acceptance on our consent agenda, how would that affect that final acceptance?
Well, I'm sure that I'll ask the city attorney to verify, to amplify, but when you accept it, there's a warranty that goes on the books, and that warranty begins a clock that is up to a year.
Okay. So then if there are additional steps that have to be taken or measures that have to be taken in order to correct an issue like low pressure or whatever, then we would be covered.
As long as it's related to the construction.
Well, that's what I meant. Okay. Thank you very much.
City Attorney, did you have anything? Okay. Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Okay, then let's move on. Public hearings, we have none tonight. We do have a consent agenda. There are seven items on the consent tonight. And one is the Treasurer's Report for the period of December 2nd through the 15th, 2015. The second is the Treasury Report for the Street Bonds Account for the same time period. The third is minutes of the City Council meeting on November 2nd, 2015. Four is adoption of a federal equity sharing agreement. Five is proposed three-year successor memorandum of understanding with the Gulf Beach Police Officers Association. Six is final acceptance of the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 3. And seven is final acceptance of the 2015 One Street Rehabilitation Repair Project. Do any members of the council want to pull any item from consent?
I don't know if we need to pull any items, but we have a revision to item number five on the dais here.
And I have just a question on item six.
Okay. So why don't we do this? There is a supplemental information to item five. Bob, do you?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just to enumerate what that is, there was a section relative to the emergency medical dispatching certification. It should rightfully belong at under compensation rather than under education.
Okay.
And so it consequently has just been moved to the proper location in the agreement.
Okay, so no substantial material change and
right.
Change in what was agreed upon.
Correct.
Thank you. And then item number six, you had a question?
Yes.
Councilmember Wright, go ahead.
I did. There were some issues with the crosswalk on West Grand Avenue
mm-hmm.
where it was slippery, where the horses were crossing over.
Yes, and if I could, I've had, Mr. Mayor, I've had the Public Works Director take a look at that, and he's been working on developing some options.
So why don't we do this then? So, Ms. Ray, hold steady. Why don't we pull item six? If there's no other questions on the remaining items, including the amendment to five, I'll accept a motion on those, and then we will move immediately to item number six and allow him to provide that information. Let's do that.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. We accept the consent agenda as written, except for pulling item six and with the additional information in item five included.
Nice motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh. Wherever.
Wherever. All right. We're going to let Councilmember Bright second that motion. Okay, if there's no other additional discussion on the motion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, Donna. And motion carries. So let's move right back into item number six, and this is the final acceptance of the West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project Phase 3. Councilmember Wright asked a question about the crosswalks, and I think I had the same question. So let's hear what Mr. Ray has to report on that.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Public Works Director, City Engineer Greg Ray. After speaking with the city manager and understanding that there have been some complaints about horses using the crosswalks and possibly the crosswalk surface being slippery, I did some research into how the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices deals with non-vehicular crossings, pedestrian, horses, other things, and there actually is a very small amount of information available that suggests that there are some standards for establishing horse crossings. And then I found a couple of really good articles on the kinds of surfaces that are or aren't more favorable for use by equestrians. With that information in mind and a little more research on appropriate signage and other things, I have made a recommendation to the city manager that as soon as possible we initiate at least at a minimum signage that indicates that horses are not to cross on the decorative pavement crosswalks, which then brings up the question where should they cross, and then with a plan to implement a crosswalk, a separate crosswalk, specifically for horses. Have yet to identify a plan for that, but have at least preliminarily come up with some ideas what the budget might be, and so the next step will be to try to identify funds to move forward with that project, and then possibly bring in an expert designer on that to be sure that we comply with the requirements for a pedestrian or a non-vehicular crossing.
Okay. So with the exception of the crosswalks, do you find that all the other improvements that have been installed are compliant with city standards? And I think the question that's been asked is us to accept the improvements tonight.
Yes. So with the exception of the crosswalks, the remainder of the project was constructed in compliance with the approved plans and specifications. The project was completed, approximately within the original budget estimated. And we do find that it's appropriate to issue the notice of completion.
Okay, very good. City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. Just to be clear, it's my understanding, and maybe City Engineer can correct me if I'm wrong, that the crosswalk was constructed in compliance with
yeah.
city standards. It was constructed exactly how we wanted it. So I don't know if the attempt is to exempt the crosswalk from the acceptance, which I wouldn't recommend. How are we dealing with that issue? Because I noticed a except for the crosswalk, we want to accept it, and I think that would be a proper action.
Yeah, and I think that was part of the wording I used, so I think I misled the witness. So
so the plans so never the plan- did say they were never specific to a crossing that was acceptable for equestrian crossing. It was a crosswalk for pedestrians.
These
is that correct?
These are pedestrian crossings, yes.
But okay. They were built per the plan, per the specs,
yes.
is really the point.
But right, so those specs weren't specs for equestrians. That was, for a horse to cross,
yeah.
basically. They were not meant for horses to cross.
Right.
So... That's
question.
That's the issue.
Sure. Yes.
What about signage directing the equestrians to use the sand trail that goes out past the golf course and over the dune onto the beach?
Certainly, that's an option, but not one that we've considered immediately. That would involve some interaction and coordination with state parks.
Okay.
And it's possibly a solution. We just have to see how that would work and if that would be immediately acceptable to the equestrian community.
One more question. I'm not sure whether you could really answer that or not, but would it be safer if the equestrians led their horses across the crosswalk areas rather than riding them?
Having had some experience on that, it really depends on the horse. some horses can be led in that way, others cannot. So, I think the point about checking with state parks is very good because we want to make sure whatever we do is in keeping with their operational goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to keep us moving forward, the item before us is to accept the improvements as installed per the plans, and what we're really talking about is a subsequent modification to
right.
the area to address the issue with the horses not being able to use the crossings and signage and whatnot. Okay.
Okay. I have, if I may.
Yes, you have the floor.
And I have two questions. The first one will lead to the second one. So from a, and I don't want to kind of go down the path of order of magnitude because you'll come back with that, I'm sure. But my first question has to do with what's the timing for coming back with the alternatives and the solutions?
That's a good question. To do it quickly, I'd almost need to hire a consultant to move the project forward. I think before we do that, we have at least a week or so where we need to contemplate if there are available funds and where those funds, which account those funds might come from. Clearly, it's not something we'd anticipated. It's outside of the work that's just been completed and any grant funds or other that we have available. So possibly a couple weeks to think about budget, and beyond that, this is something that may take until the middle of the new year to finally complete.
Which leads to my second question.
Okay, ask your question. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Which leads to my second question of how much liability does the city have until we get this resolved?
City Attorney.
Thank you. And obviously, you know, as we all know, anyone can bring an action against anyone else at any point in time. But I think the issue has been acknowledged by at least 50 equestrians that have come here and said they know that it's slippery. So I think our liability is limited.
Okay. So why don't we do this? I think I did hear this is not on an agenda for us to take any action tonight other than accepting these improvements. And then maybe we can say, is there consensus for staff to bring this back? Not January 4th, but maybe a report back on the 18th or something like January 18th, because I don't think much is going to get done between now and the end of the year. Okay, so let's take just a motion on item number 6, which was the acceptance of the West Grand Habitat Enhancement Project Phase 3.
So moved.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? Okay. I think this is well, let's do roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes, and I think I was hearing consensus from the council to provide that direction to staff to come back and give a full report on what we're going to do about the crosswalks and the equestrian crossings. Everyone?
Yes, I would like to know I know it's hard to say now, so at that time, how much it's going to cost and, you know, a range of fixes and prices.
Okay.
And not to get us too far afield, but is it appropriate to go... and maybe I haven't driven down there recently. Is it appropriate to put a caution sign on the sidewalk?
I think take whatever administrative remedies you can do, and anything beyond that, come back to the council,
yes.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ray. Okay, let's move on to our regular business, item number 8. This is discussion regarding newly adopted medical marijuana legislation. So City Attorney Kazanowicz and Chief Peters, you're going to tag team this staff report? Or? Okay. That's usually not the way it works, but.
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, this item is before you. Here today in order to get direction from you with regard to potentially amending existing ordinance or adopting a new ordinance that deals with marijuana cultivation, distribution, dispensaries, transportation, etc., within the city limits. As all of you are by now aware, the state passed 3 new bills, AB 266, 243, and 643. They created a whole new set of laws pertaining to medical marijuana regulations. The bill was signed into law by the governor on October 9, 2015. And it provides that the cities may adopt their own regulations in all of those areas, but those regulations must be in effect by March 1, 2016. And that is the most important part of the presentation tonight is the timing. Different levels of bureaucracy were created by the legislation. I'm not going to go into great details, but basically state will get in the business of regulating medical marijuana, and they will create bureaus and organizations to control the entire process from cultivation all the way through production of edible medical marijuana. And state permitting and licensing will begin in January of 2018. Department of Food and Agriculture will be involved. And again, unless local ordinances are in place by March 1st, 2016, the state will be the sole licensing authority. And at this point in time, unless a city adopts something that is in effect on March 1st, 2016, there is no going back. In other words, city cannot later come back and try to regain a control over any aspect of that law. 643 deals again with recommendations of medical marijuana. It basically tightens up all of the laws with regards to medical providers, and authorizes fees and levies. In Grover Beach, our current ordinance does not permit any stationary medical marijuana dispensaries in the city. We have no ordinance in place that regulates cultivation or mobile delivery within the city. We have no ordinance in place that that controls production or transportation. Again, unless ordinances are adopted to deal with that prior to end of January and become effective by March 1st, we will lose our ability to deal in this area, to control or regulate that area. As far as fiscal impacts, again, once the ordinances are in place, the enforcement obviously will be costly, but it can be recovered. There is a current case out of 5th Appellate District that basically states that cities cannot criminalize penalties for failure to comply with these regulations, because that area is preempted by the state. We can issue administrative fines and deal with it through an administrative process. So we are here tonight to obtain your direction with regard to drafting a new ordinance. Because of the timing, that ordinance will need to be introduced at January 4th meeting and adopted on January 19th. That is not much time to do anything other than, in my opinion, simply install a ban. Any type of a regulation, any type of an attempt to put into place dispensaries or cultivation will most likely have to be processed through an environmental review. And an environmental review, even if it's a mitigated negative declaration, takes more time than we have to complete and to finalize. So our advice, my opinion, and my advice to you is that today you instruct us to move forward with an ordinance that will ban dispensaries, which are currently banned already, will ban cultivation in any zone in the city, will ban deliveries or transportation of marijuana in the city limits. We will, if your direction is follows my advice, we will bring you that ordinance for your first reading on January 4th. We will bring it to you for your adoption on January 19th. And that ordinance will be in effect on March 1st. Once we have put our foot in the door jamb, for lack of a better description, and kept the door open, we can then sit down and start a dialogue about at what level, if any, the council wishes to assert any control or relax the bans in any of those areas. Unless we take action on that line, we lose the ability to control those areas in the future. So the most direct and most efficient process right now is to move forward with the ban, get that in place, because it's not, there's no environmental impact, so you don't have to evaluate it as a project. And then on March 1st, once it's in effect, the city has retained the ability to control any aspect of marijuana process, from cultivation all the way through dispensary. At that point in time, if the council direction is for staff to return and initiate the dialogue about cultivation, about dispensaries, about any aspect of it, we will have the time and the ability to do so. Right now, unfortunately, even though state is now realizing that they put a noose around cities next, every city is basically doing pretty much what we're talking about tonight. And they're saying that maybe they won't be enforcing the March 1st deadline, but it's not their enforcement that I'm worried about. It's a later attempt to try to control and potential civil liabilities from people who want to either preclude it or allow it. With that, the chief is here to answer any questions you may have. I'm here to respond to any questions, but the staff's recommendation is that you direct us to bring you on January 4th for introduction to first reading an ordinance that would ban dispensaries in any zone of the city, cultivation in any zone of the city, delivery, transportation, or production of marijuana
in any zone of the city. That ordinance, if introduced, will come back to you on January 19th for a second reading and adoption. And by doing so, you will have the ability to assert your control over these areas in the future. With that, I'll answer your questions.
Okay. Any questions of legal counsel? Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Thank you for the presentation, Martin. Question for you on the direction to propose a ban on dispensaries, cultivation, and delivery. So in the fact that the three bills that were brought forward, the only one that actually speaks to having to do a ordinance by is on cultivation by March 1st. So why go the additional steps when we already have a ban in place for dispensaries in our municipal code? So why go beyond where the state's requiring us?
Several reasons. The state is requiring the area of delivery is unclear, very frankly. I know that somebody at a Friday meeting told attendees that we have until 2018 to control deliveries. I don't, in my opinion, that's an area that's subject to at least two different interpretations. So rather than to err on the side of not being cautious and then later find out that we should have acted, I would, as always, provide you with the most conservative advice, and I would say there is no harm. It's three sentences in an ordinance. There's no harm of adopting it now. And again, if you wish to relax it or do something else with it, after March 1st, direct staff to come back, and we can engage the public or you in a dialogue, and we can end up in a different place. With regard to why I would repeal the existing ordinance, it is my recommendation for efficiency and for customer friendliness, for a lack of a better word. It would be best to have all of the regulations in a single ordinance, in a single code section, and rather than having them scattered, I would propose that to amend the code with a single ordinance, repeal the existing one, and make sure that you have it all in one place.
Okay. Second question, and probably last question. I'll hold comments for later. So, could we provide that direction, kind of a dual-headed direction this evening, if we decided to move forward with the ordinance that you're recommending, and also provide direction that as of March 1st, we can provide direction now to move in a particular direction after March 1st?
Absolutely.
Okay. Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. So going forward with your suggestion, as you suggested, then you're suggesting a ban on all medical marijuana, even those folks that are using marijuana, everyone, cancer patients, everyone.
At this point in time, that ban would probably encompass all of that. We can carve out exceptions for personal use and personal growth if that's the desire of the council. Again, it's my recommendation that we take this action right now and not try to shape this and fit it, because we simply don't have time to do it justice, because there can be amendments, that can be changes. If you direct us to try to do that by January 4th, we will try to do that. But I, again, my recommendation is to take the direct and most efficient route. I think that, practically speaking, and I'll let the chief speak on this, we really are not currently in a business of enforcing these situations. I know DA is not filing on them, as far as I know.
Okay, so explain what these situations are. I want to get beyond these general comments so we can know what we're talking about.
When an individual has a medical recommendation from a doctor or a what's commonly referred to as a Prop 215 card, and they're in possession of marijuana. There's no enforcement action taken against them for their cultivation that currently or their possession and use of. So the only issues that we do take enforcement action on are when those individuals do not have that recommendation or the 215 card in their possession, then they are cited, and the marijuana is taken into custody, and it is an avenue of defense for them to produce the card at a later date through the prosecution process. And generally, what's customary has happened is if the prosecution, during that process, they do come up with a card that shows they had it issued on the date prior to, or at least on when they issued the citation, then no more prosecution is desired, and the case is dismissed. So.
And also, again, recognizing that whatever regulations are put into place are going to be enforced administratively through the city. Those are not going to be criminal penalties.
Any more questions?
Mm-mm. Not at the moment.
Okay.
I have a couple questions.
Let me go to Barbara, then I'll come to you. Councilmember Nichols.
So if we see somebody selling marijuana in the street, it will be prosecuted as usual. It would be a citation, and that is about it. Is that where we're at?
Well, the sale of marijuana is still illegal. That's still not permitted, and it'd be a criminal investigation and prosecuted through the
But if it's a small amount, that it would be a still misdemeanor and dismissed.
It depending on how the case goes, it could be a felony actually.
Okay.
For illegal sales of the marijuana, so that would be up to the prosecution after we present the case.
Okay. So it really isn't going to make any change in the immediate future.
It would not make a change in the immediate enforcement action that we take.
Okay.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yeah, that was one of my questions, you know, just to confirm, because I don't want to create extra onus on the police department. So this ban would be administrative. This would not affect your daily, all the other things you need to pursue.
Yeah, what I can tell you is that a total ban is easier to enforce than a regulated ban, simply because the resources that are dedicated to a regulated ban are, you know, inspections of homes, and then you can't get search warrants for these types of incidents, so you have to devote a lot of resources, personnel, investigation, time, following up on all those. And it is a penalty that's only an administrative process. So we lose a lot of staff time answering those complaints, and that we would be filing just for an administrative process with the city. Whereas a total ban on the process would be, it's open and shut. It's black or white. You're not allowed to do it, and it's an easy administrative citation that's forwarded through the administrative process. So there's a lot less time involved by staff and resources devoted from the department.
And if in the future we decide to, you know, open this up, then how do you see that affecting your job? Let's say that we might do the ban now, but then we really look at the issue and we decide in March, the state's handling this, state law is handling it, and we're going to let the state law govern and we're going to lift our ban. How do you see that affecting your job every day and what you're trying to do?
Well, that will depend on what is actually put into place, what ordinance we actually come up with in the end, through discussions, through either workshops or the council, and what the direction is that we go. If there are some slight bans or you know, minor things such as no deliveries within the city unless it's for medical marijuana purposes, and we find a violation on that, it'll take some resources to investigate that and to, again, prosecute that through the administrative process. So it really does depend on what is developed and what law and ordinance is put into place, because, again, we could find ourselves with more resources having to be devoted to it. And in doing so, that's something that we'll have to look at budget-wise, staffing-wise, and how does that impact the police operations in general.
And can you say now how often you get calls about cultivation or deliveries?
Generally, we do have about two or three investigations a month that complaints that come in from neighbors that their neighbor is growing marijuana, and the smell is one of the biggest complaints. The debris that's usually left behind or the water runoff, if there is some, there's complaints that way. And unfortunately, if those individuals are now handing out or doing a sales project out of their house, we have to deal with a lot of the foot traffic that comes in. So it is about 3 to 4 calls a month that come in on that.
So if someone called in now about cultivation and they showed, oh, but I have a medical card, then you will say, well, but you still can't grow. Is that the law right now?
No.
No.
The law right now is that we do not have a cultivation ordinance. So if they have their 215 or a medical card recommendation, then they're allowed to grow their marijuana within the limits.
Oh, so there are already these. Are you talking about? I see here the state law is going to say that you can grow 100 square feet or 500 square feet for the primary caregiver with no more than 5 patients. So when that happens, and someone shows a medical card, is that what you say? Okay, you have to be within limits, or?
If there is not a ban on the cultivation, then yes, that could be one of the things that you could establish that your ordinance would say.
Okay. And does that happen now, or now is it generally when you catch someone with cultivation, they don't usually produce a medical card?
I would say about 80% of the time there is a medical card.
Oh, okay. And then, so what do you say to them now? Because the state law is not in effect yet.
Correct.
So what?
If they show their medical card, then what we do is make contact with the complaining party and tell them that they're within compliance of the law.
So you can grow now if you have a medical card?
Within reason, yes.
Within
reason. You
can
obviously have, 500 plants or 2 acres growing because you'll run afoul of the medical proposition 215 and limitation.
Six mature and 12 immature plants.
Correct. That's what the grow is allowed, 6 mature and 12 mature. So
right now there's 6 and 12 immature, and so if we create a ban, we would be actually taking away what's already in place, an allowance that's already there.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. I think that's all I had for now.
I saw you moving. You have a follow-up?
I have just a quick follow-up, if I might. Thank you for that.
I saw him flinch.
I think it's more of a procedural question. And obviously we've got the medical marijuana dispensary in the municipal code. An ordinance, and maybe this is a question for Bruce, if he's around, the municipal code is it takes longer to modify than enacting an ordinance, correct? That's why we're going down the ordinance path and not basically adding language to the municipal code, chapter 1.2 for medical marijuana dispensaries, to change that, correct?
Two-part answer. First of all, the only way you can amend the code is through an ordinance. So changing the language in the code is an ordinance process. And secondly, and I omitted mentioning that, that was the other reason why I'd recommend deleting that from that area, because the current state law says that it needs to be a land use related ordinance. And we have it currently in an administrative section. So we would want to move that into a land use oriented area of the code.
Okay. Barbara, another question.
Yes. My biggest concern is do we have any guarantee that the state is going to allow us to change our mind after March 31st or March 1st?
Yes, that's what the law says. State could change the law. They abolished the RDAs, but currently that's what the law says.
We must have it in place
effect. In effect by March 1st.
Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say that we can change it March 2nd.
No, it says to retain control. And, yeah, there's no question about that.
Okay.
We can regulate. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, if
yes.
I could add to that, essentially what the city is doing is setting, the state is doing is setting up a dual permitting system. And as long as the council takes action by March 1st, specifically as it relates to cultivation, then they will have the ability to regulate from that point forward, or the other areas as well. If failure to act by March 1st, specifically with cultivation, would mean that you would not have that ability and you would be giving the permitting authority completely over to the state. So that's the real dilemma that the city is facing, is this very tight time frame. The other issue relative to deliveries is, unfortunately, the current law is gray and will need to be further adjusted at some point by both the state as well as the city, I would think.
Mm-hmm. And again, okay. If I may, Honorable Mayor, Council members, with all due respect to the city manager, I disagree that only an action on the cultivation is necessary. I my advice to you is to take action on all aspects.
Okay, so everybody's had a chance to ask questions and make a say but me. So here's my chance. So, Chief, I need you to clarify, when Councilman Bashar asked you how many times you're responding to a call, you said two and then you said three or four. Is it two? Is it three or four?
It's about 3 to 4 times a month that we will get a complaint in and respond.
Okay, and then 80% of the time, so 3 out of that 4, they have a card, so it's a legal thing. Okay. All of this stuff, what we're talking about, I'm getting the sense of we're assuming the worst case scenario, which is clearly that kind of feels like that's the assumption behind all this, because we're jumping to impacts on resources and whatnot when we really don't know what that is. Or do you have evidence that if we only put a ban on cultivation but not the other stuff, that there was going to be rampant activity that required police to respond? I'm just trying to understand.
I can only predict that there may be, if we are getting to, three or so calls a month on cultivation now, that we may continue to get some of those, and we may get a couple more that will require investigation.
But we have no data or anything. That's just your best guess, correct?
No, that's my best guess, yeah.
Okay. Page 3 of the staff report talks about, and I understand the discussion about, well, let's just ban everything, and then that way you've got the foot in the door, and we can come back later. I have difficulty with that as someone who has been in the planning world for many years, and knowing that when you adopt something, to undo it is not as simple as I think is being made out. So I'm just having some things that I have to find, trying to find some compelling reason to do so. There's a discussion that says because the city's dispensary ordinance does not address local cultivation and because cultivation presents a host of difficult land use impacts, staff recommends that we consider whether local cultivation is in the best interest of Gover Beach. So can someone clarify what those land use impacts are for me?
Certainly. That's why an environmental document would be necessary in order to do anything other than ban. These impacts, because of the potential areas that could be up to an acre per license, you have pesticides, you have irrigation and water runoff, disposal of the dried plants, the waste, for lack of a better word, tremendous odor impacts from that type of operation. You have traffic impacts for harvesting, bringing in, and taking it out. Those are some of the land use issues that an ordinance would need to deal with if and when the council wishes to move forward with regulating that.
Okay. And so if we adopted an ordinance that banned cultivation with the exception of, let's say, what someone's able to do today under the law, provided they have the proper card and approvals, does the same land use impacts come into play, or is that just something to a lesser degree?
No, a ban of everything except that's what's permitted under 215 at this point in time would not require environmental review because we're not changing anything.
Okay. I'm going to hold the rest of my questions for later. I do have a request to speak from the public. I'm going to open this up to the public. I'd like to acknowledge Peter Keith. A lot of us know Peter as a former mayor and council member and successful businessman. So, Peter.
Thank you, John. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Is this on? Hardly seems like it.
You're good.
Okay. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, and staff. John, if you would permit me perhaps a couple of moments longer.
Absolutely.
I have a couple of things that are not relevant to this particular item. One is that I'm here as a person representing himself and not any other organization. Since I sit on a number of boards, I think it's important to recognize that. The other is that I'd like to comment on your fashion sense. I have sat at that dais and sat in the audience over the course of a number of years and seen council members in all sorts of array, from open sport shirts to shorts and all sorts of things. And your presence and your appearance this evening is quite nice. It's nice to see that you respect the office enough to dress up for it. So thank you for that. The other thing that's not relevant to this particular agenda item is that for a long time I've thought that a monitor such as we have on the sides here should be up in front. It's often difficult for me, and I'm quite sure others, as we're following along and we want to watch something that's being presented other than the oral presentation. It's hard sometimes with a full chamber to see these side monitors. And I'd be willing to pay for one if you wanted to put one up. And that, by pay for, I would mean that I would pay for the monitor itself and for the hangar, but not necessarily the labor. I think the city can afford to find somebody.
Thank you for that generous offer.
So I'll and now to the agenda item number 8. I'm wondering if state law supersedes local law. I have the same concerns that you have, Mr. Mayor, and that have been expressed by other council members, in that perhaps the state has the power. They can do whatever they seem to want to do. We've all been impacted by some adverse decisions that the state has made. I am in support of the presentation that our city attorney has made and that Chief Peters has made. I'm hoping that there perhaps is some consideration for people who do have a medical marijuana card and who rely on that for pain relief, et cetera. I have a little concern that maybe the state could do something in there with some chicanery that they've often pulled, that once you've shut the door on it, you can't get the door back open to do what's right. With that said, I'd like to say that I am in support of medical marijuana. I am in support of the cultivation of marijuana. And I'm in support of medical marijuana cards for all the reasons that we all understand but may not agree with. There's every reason, I think, to believe that if, in fact, this community decided, or this community's representatives decided that the sale of medical marijuana or even recreational marijuana, if it's allowed under state law, to occur in this community, that there would be a substantial sales tax revenue stream that would come to this community that might be of significant benefit. I'm sure you would, sometime next year, 2016, when this comes up on an agenda item again, regardless of what you do this evening, I'm sure that you would talk about where a sales outlet might be located. There's probably a significant difference between whether one was located in a downtown business core or whether it was located someplace like the industrial area at Farrell Road. That's up to you and staff to decide, predicated on what information you garner from it, whether it's better to have people coming in or people in town or from out of town to come in to purchase their needs and perhaps shop elsewhere, or just send them over to the industrial area. Excuse me for a moment. I just want to consult my notes. That's just about it. I'd like to remind you that the way this community got its name change from Grover City to Grover Beach was because Tom Hoffman, a long, long time ago, had the courage to stand up here at the dais and say, I think it's time to change the name of this city. And look what happened. It was changed, and changed for the better. And the council changed it. The council voted, as I recall, unanimously to change the name. And then there was a petition taken up by the Bellows to have the public vote on it. The public did vote on it. I think what I'm saying is it could be, I think, perhaps a little dangerous to someone's reputation as I am advocating this evening. I don't want that to happen, but I feel like it's necessary for the betterment of our citizenry to do that. And that's in the same sense I'm saying to you, it takes courage to do what's right, and I think an ordinance in this community that benefits people, whether it's a recreational thing or whether it's a medicinal thing, you have to issue that courage. And I hope that you will weigh this carefully and that you will issue the courage that is necessary for a proper decision. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Peter. I don't have any more slips. Is there anyone else? I'm seeing no one else come forward. Let me close this to the public and bring it back to the council for some discussion or additional questions. Who wants to go first? Okay.
Actually, I did have.
Sorry. Well, I mean, I'll take the lead if you want.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Jeff's trying to.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I have one more question, and it has to do with cultivation. If we were to permit cultivation within the city, if we went down that path, how would that be? Is agriculture allowed in any zone within the city? I mean, or is there a permitted? There's no permitted zone. Looking on the zoning map for agriculture. So if we did decide to go down a path of cultivation permissibility, what would we need to do from that perspective, realizing that's a kind of a secondary discussion to what you're recommending for us tonight? But if we did want to do that, or if we did say, let's allow cultivation and that's the ordinance we're going to go with, where could somebody grow?
Well, they can grow anywhere you would desire them to grow. Cultivation could be indoors. For example, so industrial area, warehouse. That's the gist of staff's recommendation, and that is that trying to shape something or trying to get something in place that is evaluated and that complies with our development standards, that makes sense in certain zones, that is environmentally assessed properly and not subject to challenges, because the worst thing you could do is install an ordinance that's later challenged and repealed, and the state finds that you didn't have anything in place that was legal on March 1st. So that's a discussion that would be subject to Planning Commission review, subject to your action. I will defer to the Community Development Director with regard to his opinion on what zones could potentially be a good place for cultivation. But it is an issue that's wide open. I see public entities looking at industrial zones. I see them looking at manufacturing zones. It's just most of the cultivation that at least is being considered in the state of California currently is being considered in the indoor situation.
Okay.
I had one more question if you're done.
I think I'm saying you're done. Okay.
I have comments.
I think I had my questions on cultivation, but my other question, because we're thinking possibly of including deliveries in this ban, do you get a lot of calls, Chief, regarding deliveries? I mean, how much of an issue is that?
We do not get a lot of calls regarding deliveries. We occasionally get the complaints that happen that somebody is stopped. For instance, one time at McDonald's making sales out of the van there, and that resulted in arrests. The only times we generally deal with deliveries is when something bad has happened and the person was either robbed or something of that of their product.
Okay. And in those situations, those people aren't necessarily doing things medicinally with the proper card.
Most of the times in those situations, they're doing not only medicinal deliveries, but they're doing other deliveries, and that's what's usually getting them in the trouble.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
And if I may dovetail, Mayor.
Yes.
What council should be aware of and why we're recommending to also take action on deliveries is that if you don't, and if my legal opinion is correct, and that is that the 2018 date is not really the date that's under the statute, then let's say in next year you decide that cultivation is something that you do want, you will lose your ability to control the delivery aspect of that operation unless you have your foot in the door, for a lack of a better word, on that issue. So if you don't take action on deliveries today and later you take action on allowing cultivation or dispensaries in the city, not having acted on the deliveries, you'll basically be subjected to having the state law be applicable in the city, whatever that state law is going to be at that time. That's why, even though we are short in time, the recommendation, at least we try to evaluate all aspects and give you as wide of a range to move forward with after March 1st.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee, do you have a comment or a question?
And maybe it's framed in a discussion, and I appreciate the nature with which this has come forward, but I guess I'm hearing a very conservative approach, which is in potential conflict with what the League of California Cities has brought forward with regards to their talking points regarding cultivation and delivery and dispensaries. So is that because your approach is to go and enact an all-encompassing approach so that how we come back, we're repealing or enacting something very defined?
First of all, I think the only difference from the talking points, at least the ones that were presented last Friday, was with regard to the delivery, when we have to take action on delivery. I'm not sure that I'm being on the opposite side of any of the other issues that were addressed in that presentation. I think that, yes, on that issue I am being conservative. It is a lot easier and a lot safer to take action on all four aspects of it today, and then even today instruct staff to start coming back in March and start workshops or whatever the desire of the council is to look at this issue, evaluate it, have the Planning Commission look at it, have the citizens chime in on where they are on it. But again, this item is for you to direct us.
Yeah.
I think I've explained our position, and we'll do whatever you tell us to do.
Great. Thank you, City Attorney. So here's Peter kind of talked about this. I don't know if it's bold action, but it's certainly trying to figure out how do we reconcile what clearly the law is saying. League of California Cities, which we're members of, for nearly 400 cities, and they've got some top-notch attorneys as well. So I think obviously it's a very conservative approach and it's an easy approach, but I didn't get elected to make easy decisions up here. So I'm not so much in agreement that March 1st comes and then we lose our ability to regulate deliveries and some of these other things. I would say that I definitely agree on the cultivation front. So my feeling is that we need to certainly go down the road of banning cultivation with exceptions for those folks who legally own cards for medical uses. And I think the personal use, it's 100 square feet, and I guess there were a number of plants. That's a 10 by 10 area. And I don't know if we can say it's got to be indoors or not. That's something we need to talk about. We can, well, I'm just throwing it out there for a discussion that we'll have on January 4th. So I'm just looking for discussion up here. And then I think it calls out primary caregivers at 500 square feet, which to me is a large area. And so I think we do need to figure out if in fact we can adopt something stricter on that front. I'm just still not agreeing that there's this urgency on deliveries, but I do agree with the city attorney that maybe we also give direction that they come back on the first meeting in March, which is actually March 2nd. And then we not only deal with the ban on cultivation, then we can deal with the issue of deliveries, dispensaries, and land use regulations. Because when I start looking at some of these things, and these laws only talk about the medical marijuana parts of it. We hear about all the polling and things that may potentially happen in November. And so how do we set up a framework that looks at this as an industry and not as something portrayed as sinister? Because I think there's still going to be laws on the books, whether it's a local law or a state law or a federal law, where if someone is illegally selling drugs at McDonald's or any other location, Walmart in Rio Grande, that law enforcement would be able to take action, correct? So I understand it's the easiest thing to do. I just don't know once you adopt a ban how easy it's to undo something versus dealing with what's clearly in front of us is the deadline for cultivation, and clearly there's varying legal opinions on if that applies to some of the other elements. So I don't know where the council is.
Well, I would agree with that, and I mean, we also have to keep in mind, I know that maybe down the road marijuana will be legal for everyone, but right now this is only dealing with people using it medically. So the cultivation, as far as I understand, can only be with someone with a medical card. And then as I was reading through, just as you said, you don't have to get a state license if your cultivation does not exceed 100 square feet or 500 square feet for a primary caregiver. So maybe it's as easy as saying, you know, it's allowed as long as it's not required to be state licensed, in which case that's too much. Or we could look at the 500 feet. Maybe we limit it to 100 feet for everybody. But I don't know that it's that complicated that we have to say ban. I'm just thinking of people. I know I have some neighbors who use marijuana medically, I think. And I just think that, you know, if you are suffering and possibly sick, to then all of a sudden everything changes on you for only 2 months, that seems like quite an onus to put on people for something that, from what I hear the chief saying, is not a huge issue. So I really just, that's what's giving me a little bit of trouble with saying a ban until March. I know we can change it, but that's my issue with that.
Okay. Karen, you have anything?
Well, I agree with what you've said as far as the medical marijuana aspect of it. But I also do want to keep our options open for later on down the road. I don't want to close the door. Chief, you might want to close your ears here. Seriously, I do think that it's something that we do need to really consider. I'm not saying that it's something that we want to do, but it is something that I think we should look at. It is something that could be a wave of the future. And let's be serious. I mean, Peter mentioned it. We all know it's going to be taxed, and we could be looking seriously at $500,000 easily. So if it can be done and can be done right and it is something that is necessary, anyway, I just don't want to close the door. So, but for the immediate future, I think that we just need to look at state law and kind of keep it there for now.
Okay, so you're okay with the ban on at least the cultivation part so that it doesn't move beyond what's allowed?
Right, not beyond what's allowed right now for medical use.
Okay.
Councilman
Nichols, you in agreement?
Yes.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem.
And I'm in agreement with the consensus as well, with a little bit of a piggyback upon what Councilmember Shaw was saying, in the fact that in effect it would be banned beyond March 1st, because even if we started the discussions on March 1st, it's going to take some number of months beyond that to enact an ordinance to change that. So I agree that it'd be impractical and short-sighted of us to have that ban in place when it's currently allowed, so under different aspects. So I'm in support of the framework that you outlined, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. So then looks like we're going to try and get some direction to staff to come back or to move forward with development of a medical marijuana ordinance that bans cultivation. And I think we still want to, and that's that anything beyond what's currently allowed under state law, correct?
So people would still be allowed to cultivate as they're doing today. Is that, I just want to make sure I understand what we're saying.
Prop 215.
So, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the first part. And then I think the second part would be to give some direction to come back to us with additional information regarding banning or regulating deliveries, and even talk a little bit more about the medical marijuana dispensaries. And then maybe we could even be a little more proactive in thinking of if this is going the way that the polls and everyone's talking about, do we get out in front and establish a framework in case laws do change in November per the voters? Yes, I'm seeing looks.
I'd be in support of that with the caveat that maybe as part of the mid-year budget review, we establish a priority for the planning department as to where to put this. So, because obviously we've got a couple of other different codes that we'd be looking for modifications, and so if we wanted to do that, we might need to move it up on the hierarchy, and utilize either some resources of other cities or the league in order to help fashion language.
So maybe it's direction to come back with an ordinance banning cultivation and I think we were talking about what you said, 215, making sure that ban is respectful of that, but anything beyond that is banned. And then I think staff would come back to us, whether it's March 2nd or sooner, with, I think the city attorney talked about a full array of what are some of the potential options available to the council.
I just want to make sure that the council is clear that we are not going to be taking action then by March 1st on either the dispensaries or delivery or transportation of marijuana in the city.
I can't speak for the rest of them, but I understand that, and it's a matter of if we all believe if we would take the city attorney's very conservative recommendation, or if we are in agreement with the how the state, the League of California City has opined on this and their discussion with the lawmakers. And everyone who I've talked to has said the March 1st critical deadline is cultivation and not the other items that have been identified by the city attorney. It's a matter of respectfully disagreeing.
And I understood that as well. And I respect him, the city attorney, for kind of reiterating that. But between what other cities have and actions have done, it's been solely with regards to cultivation for the most part, from what I've seen. So I'm comfortable moving forward in the direction that we're providing this evening.
Okay.
I do have one thing I want to just make you aware of. There is several cleanup legislation items that are underway right now in reference to the new legislation. So there may be some changes that come down the road towards March and thereafter. So coming up with something at March 2nd, it may depend on what other new changes come up in reference to any other cleanup legislation.
Fair enough. I think just from my standpoint is we understand the information you provided tonight. I think we've given some direction, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions out there when we start talking about going beyond what are the true benefits of banning all of these things, proving that there is, in fact, criminal activity associated with it, and can you effectively enforce it? I mean, we've just had a lot of general conversation tonight. We need to start having some very in-depth conversations and figuring out, is this something that is in the best interest of the community for an all-out ban, or is it in the best interest of the community to look at this as an industry? And one could probably argue at some point a green industry at that. So I think what we're trying to do is protect our local neighborhoods by banning cultivation now and maintaining that local control, and being open-minded enough to have a conversation about some of the other aspects of this. I think that's what I'm hearing, correct? Okay. So is staff clear on the direction?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you both for your hard work and your recommendations on this. Okay. Oh, so we now get to move from discussion of medical marijuana to committee assignments. So who wants to be on the medical marijuana task force? City manager.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as you've noted, this is the time where the council annually reviews its committee appointments. Past practice has indicated that appointments have generally been determined by consensus discussion amongst yourselves. There's a couple of new committee appointments that I just want to draw your attention to. The Coastal Regional Sediment Management Plan. This is a federally funded effort that takes a look at silting in the coastal areas, and that work effort requires the establishment of a steering committee. And that steering committee will consist of a elected official from each of the coastal communities, including the city Pismo Beach, and I believe Morro Bay is included in that as well. The other new committee, if you will, is just a I think that's pretty much it in terms of new committees. There are a couple of exceptions I want to point out. The sanitation district, by bylaw, actually the representative is to be either the mayor or the mayor's designee. Also, relative to redevelopment oversight committee, the city actually has redevelopment by the oversight committee continues to deal with dissolution issues associated with redevelopment, and the council or the city has actually the city has three appointees on that particular oversight committee. The two of those appointees, one is John LaFerriere, the other is Ms. Cassandra Mesa, that is representing the employees union. And then finally, the mayor it sits by resolution on that oversight committee because we have a lighting district that actually has the greatest revenue generating within the former redevelopment project area. So that is that particular committee. And finally, the only other committee I wanted to mention was the Joint Authority. The mayor and the mayor pro tem have been sitting in that capacity for some time. The Joint Authority is associated with the Lodge Project, and essentially they meet with our counterparts, with the state representatives. However, any action that is simply comes back to this council as a recommendation. Having said that, staff would suggest that you continue as you have before with the consensus discussion, and we're here to help you out as best we can. And that completes my report.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Does anyone have any questions of staff, or should we just go down the list?
Actually, just a quick question, okay. If I might. When City Engineer Fine came to us and discussed the Pismo recycling project, there was some discussion about an ad hoc committee. I don't know if we need to, at this time, decide on that, or if we continue that to another time. Have you heard anything from Pismo?
Nothing further, but my suggestion there is that my recommendation is to allow that discussion to move forward and see a little bit more of a framework before appointing a elected official. Right now, I think it's just a little bit too early. Certainly, the council can make that decision at any time it so chooses.
Okay. That's a good suggestion, Bob.
Okay. And then the only other question I had is with regards to the sediment, the regional sediment. Any updates on timing of meetings or when they expect them? Because obviously, it could conflict with some other assignments.
Dates and times have not been set, and we're probably not going to get any more information on that particular committee until after the first of the year.
Okay.
All right. So you guys want to just dive in? All right. Let's go.
I think Miriam should be appointed to the Housing Trust Fund Commission.
Well, that's not the top. You were taking the easy one.
I was taking the easy one.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Oops. I have no problem.
Hold on.
I wanted to tell you guys one thing about Housing Trust Fund that I just wanted you to know as we go forward. I am the only city council member left on the Housing Trust Fund. Everyone else utilizes staff members. For example, AG sends Kelly Heffernan of their planning department, and that's so. I don't mind doing it, or if someone else wants to do it, but I wanted to let you know we're the last people sending council members. So
okay.
So Morro Bay.
Christine doesn't.
She's gone?
Yeah.
Because we were the last two.
Yeah.
Okay. Air Pollution Control District. Karen, are you still comfortable and
going
to serve in that?
Absolutely. I would like to finish up there this last year.
Okay. So, Mr. Lee and Miriam Shaw, alternate. Miriam, are you interested in diversifying your committee assignments?
No, it doesn't matter. Jeff, do you want to stay alternate?
I have no problems being the alternate. It's right near my office, so if there is meetings, Karen hasn't missed one in 3 years. So.
Okay, so Karen, continue in that capacity. Jeff, as the alternate. I think the audit committee, that's a tough one. So Karen wants that, and Miriam will still be the alternate?
Sure.
Okay. Chamber of Commerce. Looks like we've got Miriam interested in being the rep, and then Karen, are you strongly want to be that? Because obviously, if you don't feel you can fill that position, I would. Although Jeff, you're the alternate, but you didn't put your name in, right? To be alternate again, correct?
Correct.
I would.
Oh, so let me see.
Sure.
What you want to do?
So it doesn't matter really.
That's a tough one for me because it's so often and it's down here, but
okay. So Barbara.
There we go.
Wow. Okay. Community Action Partnership. And so, Barbara, you're currently in that as a rep right now, right?
Yes. And I've just been named to a committee there, so I think I probably had better find out what the committee's about. Or maybe this would be a good time not to.
So we want to keep Barbara there, and then, Karen, you want to be the alternate? Although I guess Miriam, yeah, okay.
That's okay.
Again?
Go ahead.
Okay.
So,
awesome. Well, it is a conflict with the Zone 3 meeting.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
If I stay Zone 3.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
So we jump. Let's jump down to Zone 3. Yeah. We can resolve that right now.
Okay.
So let's see.
Do you want to keep Zone 3? Or?
I think, Karen?
I'm thinking. Right,
can you
speak to
the microphone?
Oh, sure. I was thinking that since Jeff did put his hat into the ring for Zone 3, really you're certainly more qualified than I, if you want to have it.
I'd be happy to serve on that. I no longer have the conflict, so okay. I'd be happy
so
to.
I think you certainly would be the better man
for
the job.
Person. But I think given your experience and if there is no conflict, I think that would be a
absolutely.
Good...
Absolutely. I'd be happy to be the alternate.
Okay.
And then, so then I could be the alternate for CAPSLO, and there wouldn't be
perfect
unless okay. unless Jeff's going to take off all the time.
Right.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. Economic Vitality Corporation. Jeff's currently the rep, and Karen's the alternate. Miriam looks like she has an interest. So
I just put it there in case somebody. When we filled this out, we didn't know if anyone else wanted to do it. So I just said I was available. But
that was your approach last year.
Yeah.
I thought you might have changed that. No,
I'm available.
So, okay, Jeff, are you interested in continuing in that role?
I'm happy to continue in that role, and it kind of goes along the same lines of the Housing Trust Fund is, except for the fact that there is city representation, but we are non-voting.
Yeah.
So I'm more than happy. Again, it's in San Luis, so. I can participate in that.
Okay. And then Karen's currently the alternate. So, Karen, are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm in San Luis, so, and Jeff never misses, but I'm happy to
okay.
fill in if need be.
Okay, so Five Cities Fire Joint Powers Authority. I think I'd expressed an interest in remaining in that role, and I fully expect to be rotating in as the chair of the committee. So if it's okay with the rest of the council, I'll maintain that as a rep.
Yep.
Okay.
Fine by me.
Okay. And I think Barbara's currently the alternate, and she's done a really good job.
Right. I would like to remain on that.
Okay.
Homeless Services Oversight Council. So Miriam and Karen's expressed interest in that. So
I just threw my name in there.
You too.
She did the same thing.
Because you never know if anyone might not want to do it.
That's right.
I've been doing it. I think I do get a lot of really good information from that one. So I would like to keep it if you don't mind.
How about Miriam keep it and Karen? You can you be the
sure. Absolutely.
You're okay. She's the alternate because you're going to get busy with Zone 3 and
yep, I'm good with that.
Okay. No problem.
Very good. Housing Trust Fund. So I know, Mary, you talked about you being the last council member. Bob, how often does this one meet you, Mary?
We have meetings once a month, but lately, the past 3 months, we've figured out a way that there's a computer program where we just get our packet on the computer, we read it, and we vote mostly by computer. I don't think we've met formally since maybe August or September, maybe September. So it's really not a big deal. The only reason I wanted to bring it up is because I am the last person, so I wanted you guys to know that. And also, a lot of it's very technical. Like, you read a lot of technical proposals, and I mean, for the most part, I'm always in favor of affordable housing, so for the most part, I just vote yes. But if you'd want a more technical opinion, then you might want a planning type person. So,
I think we need to encourage more committees to go completely online.
So I think the only question on that, Bob, is do you think there's a, I know we're short staff and resources. Is that a...
I'd really have to check with the community development director because it would I'd look to him or one of his staff members to fill the position.
One thing I will say is since Morro Bay has switched from a council person to a staff person, that person never hardly ever comes. Oh. And so then they are often unrepresented. So I wouldn't want that to happen because, you know, staff does get busy and things come up. So, yeah, I'm open either way.
So why don't you continue in that role for now, Miriam, and then let's reassess in a,
okay.
in a few months, a couple of months maybe.
Okay. Do we want to supply, or I know it says NA, but do we want to supply potential staff as backup?
Sure. I don't know if they allow
they
it.
Won't. Oh, they won't allow let that. You.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. No worries. All right, Integrated Waste Management Authority.
I'd like to continue that if I might. I'm going to rotate into the chair in July.
Oh,
good.
Okay.
Get that styrofoam.
You have a directive. I like it. So do you want to stay as the alternate, Karen, on there?
Sure.
Okay. And then, San Luis Obispo Coastal Regional Sediment Management Plan Steering Committee. Jeff, that looks like that's right up your alley.
Yeah, I had expressed my interest in that one, but not knowing the timing of it, I may conflict out with some other meeting, depending upon that. So, but I'm happy to express the interest at this point.
That's why I didn't throw my name in that hat because I had no idea. But I did do the alternate just in case.
You can. So you want? Will you be the alternate on that?
Sure.
Okay. And then the Flo County Water Resources Advisory Committee and. Barbara, it looks like you are a rep and you're interested in staying in that role?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll leave Barbara and then Miriam, you're down as the alternate?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. SLOCOG and the RTA, and I'm okay staying in that as the rep, if everyone's okay with that.
Yeah.
And Karen, how do you feel about being an alternate?
Fine. You're always there.
I know. I need to. You and I need to stop showing up to meetings and let her. Okay. And then the South County Transit. Barbara is the rep. And then looks like Karen and Miriam expressed interest.
Doesn't matter. I mean, I just threw my hat. It doesn't matter. Miriam, if you want to be the alternate, I'm good with that.
I can be the alternate.
Okay. So, Barbara, you're good with staying as you're out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that means, so you said Miriam's the alternate, right? Although you got a lot, both of you have a lot as the alternates. Do you want me to stay in that role, or was that something?
It doesn't matter. I don't think Barbara's going to miss. And if she's playing hooky, I'll see her on Facebook.
Well, South County Transit only meets four times a year unless there's a special meeting. So,
okay,
kind of hard to have an excuse to skip.
Okay. So then, Miriam, you'll be the alternate.
Yeah, I'll be the alternate.
Okay, South Slo County Sanitation District. I've taken enough grief over the year. I think I should stay, and I was actually just voted as the chair.
I thought you were going to say that means I'm going to go.
I'm
not going to put you as the chair. Okay.
I kind of have a vested interest in staying on.
All right.
Cool.
All right. So I'll stay as a rep, Barbara as the alternate. Visit Slo County. Looks like Miriam. Wow, and Karen.
Well, this only meets now twice a year,
right.
If that, right?
Twice a year.
So.
Okay.
And I was afraid nobody put their hat in the ring for that one.
So Miriam and then Karen. So I'm thinking you two are pretty busy. I should, I tell you what, I will remain, if you're okay, Miriam, I'll continue to be the alternate to the South County Transit.
Okay.
It kind of fits into with RTA. Let's just do that. I was being lazy when I put...
Okay, so you're South County Transit, all right.
Yeah, the alternate. Barbara's still the primary.
Okay.
Okay, so I think Bob had brought up the Lodge Joint Authority, and currently the Mayor Pro Tem and I sit on that, and I think we're obviously at a critical juncture. We should probably just keep that the way it is now.
I think so.
And then the Redevelopment Oversight Committee, does anyone, I'm more than happy to appoint someone. I think Mr. LaFerrier and Mr. Mesa have been doing a really good job, and so if there's anyone on this board that would be interested in sitting and taking my spot.
I don't believe that's an option.
That's not an option?
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay. All right. I think we're done. Bob, hopefully, Donna, you guys caught all those, because
yes.
I have all kind of markings on this paper, and I just don't want to have to give it to you because you'll be so confused. Okay.
My only comment is, as you mentioned, both Karen and Miriam have quite a few alternate positions. I think I've only got one, so if there's one that you would prefer to not be an alternate on, I'd be happy to move myself into one of those positions as necessary.
Well, if you want, you could be the RAC alternate, because you probably would. Or are you the person?
No, I think Barbara is.
Do you want to do that?
Sure.
All right.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Same conflict would apply.
So you are a water and sediment person.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Okay. So I think there was the resolution. Now, was there? I thought the last time when we dealt with these resolutions, those of us that sat on, can we just take one resolution, City Attorney? Okay. Okay, let me find the reso. So, here we go. Okay. Does someone want to make a motion on this resolution?
I can do that. I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution confirming certain council appointments as discussed herein, and authorize the city clerk to update the FPPC Form 806 for posting on the city website.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion. There's a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, everyone. That was we went through that pretty quickly. That was great, really good teamwork. Appreciate it. Okay, pulled consent agenda items. We have none. Council committee reports. Councilmember Bright, do you have anything you want to report tonight?
No, I did not have any council committee meetings. Thank
Very
you.
Good. Councilmember Shaw.
Nope. All has been quiet in committee land. I know.
Councilmember Nichols.
No, nothing to report.
Jeez, Mayor Pro Tem.
I will follow a trend.
Well, darn it. I can't follow that trend, but I will be brief. Five Cities Fire Authority. The board met on Friday, this past Friday, and we took a couple of actions, two or three actions that I really want you all to be aware of. One is we directed the board directed the chief or staff to retain the policy regarding recording meetings and keeping that information on the website and available for the public, so it doesn't change the policy, so that remains in place. The second thing the board did was authorize the fire chief to proceed with processing a purchase order agreement to acquire one new fire engine. And as many of you may know, that the current fleet is aging, and literally we're talking, I think four are in the range of 15 to 20 years old. Yeah. And so this is the board really felt that with the lease payments ending on one of the engines in one of the apparatus in January of 2016, that would be an opportunity to take those funds in addition to other commitments and start the process of purchasing a new one. The chief had looked at if we could do a lease them, and then after a certain many years, you know, turn that in and lease another one, but apparently there are some certain provisions with state law that does not allow that to happen. So he's looking at a lease with the option to purchase. So He's going to be coming back to the board in January for with a financing plan on that. I believe the unit itself costs between $500,000 to $600,000, and so we'll have a much more detailed report on that in January, and I'll give you that information. And by the way, it takes about 12 months to actually build the unit per our specs and deliver it, so that's something moving forward. But we are still trying to figure out how to deal with this aging fleet, and we'll have more discussion on that in January. The last thing is that there was a direction to move forward with a strategic plan. The JA for the Five Cities Fire Authority has been in effect for about 5 years. It's a good time to take a look and see what works well and what could use some changing. There's been some discussion. I think one of the things, and just as an example, and I would say that the executive committee, and when we approved this many years ago, I know Bob and Steve Adams, and who was in Oceano at that time, Paul?
There were two or three different individuals by the time we got through.
Yeah, and I just want to say they did a really good job, because I think at that time it was getting this organization formed and moving in a positive direction. And it's a lot of great things have been accomplished, and so after 5 years, it's a good time to take a look at the JA and figure out what we can do to improve it. But I know there was no language that allowed for another member to come on board if a certain city to our north chose to not continue to use CAL FIRE services. There would not be a vehicle to allow that to happen. So we're going to have a robust discussion on that coming up in either January or February. South San Francisco County Sanitation District. I was elected as the new chair starting in January. And also the Knutson report, a draft, was provided to staff. And so the board directed staff to work with, and staff is plant superintendent and legal counsel, to work with Mr. Knutson to finalize this report and then make it available to the public as soon as possible. So I would expect something to be coming out on that in the next 2 months or so. So I'll keep you up to date on that. No updates on the pending litigation, and also we are moving forward with the redundancy project. So those are some things, positive things. Well, the redundancy project is certainly a positive item that we're working on at the plant, at that particular committee at the district. SLOCOG, there's been a lot of discussion at SLOCOG regarding having no monies or limited monies to program. Many years ago, we used to have anywhere about $12 million to program. I think it's now down to less than half of that. And so the discussions that we're now starting to have are, rather than trying to phase projects, trying to figure out what are the most strategic projects and the top priorities to utilize the funds and get things done. Three projects have kind of risen to the top. One is the 227 improvements. I don't know if anyone has taken 227 after 5 o'clock out by the airport.
Oh, I do all the time. It's a nightmare.
So there's been a lot of pressure to figure out how to make some improvements out there and pick up the low-hanging fruit. And so staff is looking at that. The other is I think someone called it the Shell Beach Straits, but it's really that stretch along 101 South from Avila Drive to, my goodness, probably Price Street. And so that's another one that we're discussing. I think that is a project that they're estimating would be about $32 million. I mean, but they've added components to it rather than just saying, hey, we're going to extend that climbing lane to be a full auxiliary lane from Avila to Spyglass. They've even talked about modifying on and off ramps at Matty Road, changing the ones that come out near Ventana Grill. Mm-hmm. They've been talking about, can you move those further south and line it up with the Seacrest Hotel. I don't know how you do that. I was driving by today looking at the change in the elevation. So they're looking at a project like that and doing the environmental. And then they were talking about possibly as a pilot or demonstration project, taking the shoulder and making that available during peak hours. So that's where the cost has gone up exponentially.
Well, isn't one a direct result of the other?
I think so.
Yeah.
I would agree. Because I think what was, I believe it was already always, I think the original discussion was it should be an auxiliary lane. We see several of those, right? You see one from 4th Street on ramp heading north up. Yeah.
To
Pismo, actually. To Pismo, yeah. Right? Someone at Caltrans made the decision and said it's just a climbing lane. And so I think what we see is you go from, even when the on-ramp comes on, you go from four lanes down to three to down to two. And that's
with
the
an
bottom.
On-ramp.
Yes.
I think the ironic thing on that is that it traffic really has seemed to ease during that afternoon commute, the times that I've been using it in the last month or two,
mm-hmm.
from the high summer traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even use it.
Yeah.
I'm in that mess that's going down to 27.
So I know that Aurora Grandy also had a special meeting on Briscoe Road, and you know that they've had the ramps, the on and off ramps closed there. I haven't gone back to find out what was discussed, and but I do know that one of the alternatives that's being discussed is to leave those closed and do some other improvements at Briscoe Road. I think it's probably going to take some, may have to reach out. I don't know, Bob, if you've talked to the city manager or anyone's explained. Okay. Because what was in the regional transportation plan was not, there's also one alternate that talks about a full roundabout over there. Which means, and if they pursue that project, they have a serious funding gap. But if you do something that's a little more minor, which includes leaving the on and off ramps closed there, they may have the resources to get the project done sooner than later. However, those three projects are now probably going to start competing for funds. And so, as your rep, I've been stressing the importance of fixing the 101 South segment. I think that's a significant impact on all of us today.
Yep.
So I will let you know how that
Thank
goes.
You.
Okay. I think that's all that I've got on committee reports tonight. Any council communications?
Yes.
Barbara.
I would like to call attention to the fact that one of our council members is in the top 20 under 40s.
Yes, she is.
I guess it's not me. I'm not under 40. Neither are you.
I'll take it as long as I can get. I'm at 39 counting the minutes.
And on top of that, as president of the Library Guild, she pulled together a story time with Santa on Saturday. That was fabulous.
Thank you.
It was absolutely fabulous.
Wow.
And I appreciate you guys coming out in the rain and bringing children, which we needed. Karen did. So thank you.
Yep. It was great.
Excellent.
Kids loved it.
Jeff, you have anything?
Just wanted to draw people's attention to the Holiday of Lights residents decorating contest winners. They're on the city's website, and it looks like the Parks and Rec and Beautification Commission had lots of ties, so there's lots of award winners going to folks. But on the website and on the Facebook page is a map and a list of addresses and a map of how to get through all 38 homes that were participating in the Holiday of Lights this year.
I love the fact that there's a map.
Yep.
I think that's just great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful.
No, it was a great turnout this year. Excellent. Karen, you have anything?
Well, I was going to talk about the Santa's library and the story reading, but Barbara stole my thunder.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Mary?
No, I just heard today on the news that I think even the president is already on his vacation. So I want to commend us all for finishing out the year with this last meeting on December 21st.
Yeah,
way to go, team.
That's a good one. And thank you, staff. We thanks all the staff. And I know sometimes we get up here and we have discussions and we don't necessarily always agree. But I think one thing we can agree on is that everyone on this staff works really hard and are great ambassadors for this community. So thanks to everyone, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, on and on and on. So, do you have anything else? I'm sorry. I just jumped right in there.
No, that was it.
Okay. I did want to let everyone know that I had been contacted by Duke Sterling. Sounds like he's had a conversation with Judith Bean around the issue of transient/vagrancies, and it sounds, looks like the chamber is looking to possibly start a task force, but no specific decisions have been made on that. So I think at some point they may come forward and we'll be asked to endorse. I think, you know, the workshop went really well that we had. Thanks again to the staff, and I think we had some really good feedback. I think it was, for the in general, mostly very positive, explaining to everyone, the business owners, what we've done, the actions and steps we've taken, and then certainly making sure that the expectations were managed somewhat, saying that government could do so much, and we really needed them to be partners in this and come up with some creative ideas and solutions. So I'm glad to see at least the chambers come back with a suggestion, and we'll continue to have those conversations. The only other thing I did want to bring up is, and I think in the mid-year budget reviews, although I'm not sure, were we talking about doing those in February?
Yes, early February.
So I think at that time we can talk about PD staffing levels. I know that there was some discussion in a Friday letter, the foot patrol, and then some other ideas that were suggested at the workshop. We can maybe have some conversation around those. So other than that, I don't have any other communication. City Manager, do you have any reports or comments tonight?
No, just wishing everyone a Merry Christmas.
City Attorney.
Same. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, everybody.
Okay, very good. I should say, City Clerk, do you have any comments? Anyway, again, thanks everyone for all the hard work. 2015, we know, was I'm not going to say a tough year. I mean, it was a lot of work that went in. We made a lot of great progress. We did the first batch of streets that we accepted tonight as complete. We had the second batch designed, and looks like we've got a successful bid opening, and we expect that'll be coming back to us in January.
Next meeting.
Okay, very good. So we will hopefully, we are starting to get some rain, and hopefully it'll rain through the holidays and the first part of January, and then it'll clear up for us to do the next set of streets, which includes North 13th,
Saratoga
from 8th to Oak Park. And then on a separate note, we hope that we will be far enough along on Oak Park to have that project start in the first quarter next year as well. So a lot of good accomplishments this year and moving forward. So with that, it is 8:22, and I am going to adjourn this meeting.